So, University of Arizona is in Tucson, Arizona, and as Karen mentioned, I work at the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture in the outreach arm, and we specialize in outreach into disparity communities and work on physical planning. That is my only disclosure, is that I am not a public health expert. So this is an outline, and I'll get right into it. I think most of you could probably present this background better than I could, but we'll go through it. Our work is really in these focuses on these place-based settings where we live, work, and play, and the realizing the profound influence that they have on the individual choices, health choices that we make or don't make. Chronic disease prevention is really what we're trying to get at with the built environment, to begin to make communities more walkable and livable and health enhancing. And that seems to be a general trend, that we look at environmental factors in our communities as a solution to the profound health issues that face us. We focus on health disparities, and rightly so. There are so many disparities of investment in our communities that make healthy that put health burdens on certain populations. And so our focus is on trying to level the playing field. We draw from community-based participatory research because barriers to health are contextual. You find them in place. And so who better to identify not only the issues and the barriers to health, but also the solutions. They're right in our communities. This asset-based community development approach from Kretzmann and McKnight is very much kind of our blueprint for working with communities, focusing on not on deficits, but on strengths within the community, what capacities that already exist, things that are already going well, and using those as a platform to solve the issues the community confronts. Also, very importantly, is using a strength-based approach tends to create a positive feedback loop in the process, which is what I think the key component of sustainability is. And so we'll see a little bit more of that in a minute. So we're looking to change the built environment, and it's a complicated thing to do, because what we're doing is redesigning communities. I think it would be much easier to design it right in the first place. And so we really need all of the talent and expertise at the table that comes out of the community. And so the first step in built environment change and behavioral change to go along with it is engagement in the process of looking at the environment. And then to collaborate with others, and then to find resources to get it done, and then to make the changes, and then hopefully our health behaviors change with it. And so this is kind of the process that we go through with communities, and I'll walk through that now. So the word charrette is what we use. It's a workshop. Anybody who shows up is the community, anybody who comes to do the work. And we meet over several months, and we start looking at the community usually through an aerial. the resolution there fell apart, but often folks aren't used to looking at their communities from an aerial photograph. And so it's a great way to start getting people to look at their communities in a different way. And we map, they map where they go, what routes they take, what opportunities exist along the way. We bring in some GIS to augment kind of the systems that are in place, the bus routes, the bike routes in the neighborhood. And then all that neighborhood starts coming together and synthesizing, and what you get are quite a few areas of agreement and consensus, and folks start realizing that their values are really very similar and they have a lot more in common than they might have thought earlier. And they and so that is the process to collaboration. And then out of that comes a plan. And it's could be very simple. This designates actually quite a bit of work, and it's really a symbol of their work, this plan, of their investment, and it has quite a bit of process and consensus tied up into it. And there's quite a bit of ownership because folks have come back to the table over and over to invest in it. And it also has momentum built into it. So if you've come to a meeting 3 times and given your opinion and you see your opinion reflected back to you, you start really feeling like you have an important role. So after the plan is built, it becomes a tool for garnering resources. And it's really quite a valuable tool because it shows potential funders the kind of investment that has been made in these changes. And it's already got a lot of agreement behind it, and so the funders want a plan that's ready to go. Within the plan there are numerous projects, and so the plan can be used to fund whatever project matches the funding opportunity. And then comes implementation, which is a long, hard road to get to changes in the built environment. 5 years to do a project like this from the conception to the construction. And so those smaller incremental projects become really important to keep the momentum going to get to the big one like this. So these small successes are very important. So I'm going to run through a small series of slides on a neighborhood we worked with in Tucson under a HUD-funded project for building healthy neighborhoods. And we convened with this neighborhood over the course of 2 years, and part of that was in helping achieve funding for some of these projects. But you'll see what they accomplished. So the neighborhood known as Northwest Neighborhood is a historic African-American community that was a redline community where banks, this is the only place in town banks would fund mortgages and rent to African-Americans. It is a high disparity community, no sidewalks, no street trees, no street lights, wide, hot streets. We had a series of surveys. One of the things you'll see here is that our sample size was only like 16. Whoever came to the table is who we worked with, and it's oftentimes a few people that carry most of the work. But the barriers that they were experiencing to being outside in their neighborhood, crime, traffic, air quality, and what improvements would you like to see? Kind of maybe code for more social engagement or connecting with neighbors, trees, night lighting, walking paths. And so we charretted numerous times, used various tools, mapped out the opportunities and the problem areas, and then this was the resulting plan, and this long list of ideas came out. And again, they often want to rank these. What's the most important? What's the second? But we refrained from doing that because we want it all, and we just want to start with whatever is the best opportunity. And so this is over the course of 4 years, what has been implemented in this order and in this magnitude. And I'll show you briefly what that was. So one of the issues, they really wanted some street trees. Big problem in Tucson, because who's going to maintain the street trees? Who's going to trim them? Who's going to keep them out of the road? Well, the neighborhood has to. And so here is a neighborhood that had not met in a formal capacity for years, and they had their first work party after we had done our charretting, and the local ward office bought some pizza and put some cones and gave them some tools, and they actually trimmed the existing trees on a street to show the city that they had the capacity to care for and maintain their neighborhood trees. Second, this hideous concrete channel running through the center of the neighborhood that you have to walk a couple blocks around on each side to get over. There's a park that on one side in the neighborhood, the bulk of the neighborhood on the other, so there's no way to cross it. And what they really, really wanted was a bridge, which is really big. It's very difficult. We're still working on that. So they started with a mural, and a mural that tells the story of environmental degradation. This is the wash as it used to be, of the discrimination and the redlining. And so it took kind of these painful events, and it made something beautiful out of it. And they had a community event to paint this mural into the side of the channel. Then this a corner of the street, and you can see the real lack of shade here, and they wanted a pocket park. So this was a little rendering that our students did for them to agree with what they said they wanted. And then this is with $900. They got pickaxes and shovels and planted the trees and made a little park, and now they have community events out there, and they can be seen sitting on the street corner, and they even got signage for it. This was a big idea that came out of the charrette, was the idea that this is a collector street, not an arterial, not a neighborhood street, but a collector street, and that it connected through five neighborhoods towards the university on the south and four schools on the north. And so wouldn't it be a great bike boulevard? And so that, with only $150,000 of regional money, which was quite a coup to be able to get regional money for this, they put in traffic circles and a lot of paint and signage, and this calmed traffic cutting through their neighborhood, and it's only recently been completed, and a great addition to their neighborhood and a huge accomplishment, because it goes not only through their neighborhood but four others. And then this is a street in their neighborhood, and this again dead ends at that channel right down here, and but 40 foot of roadway at a dead end street, with nary a tree to shade you in the hot summer sun. And so the idea was to reduce the asphalt by 10 feet on either side and reduce it to a 20-foot street. So it was after the money was granted, it was value engineered, and we ended up with only narrowing on one side of the street and a kind of occasional bump outs on the other side of the street. But a significant achievement, and this was the ribbon cutting was 2 weekends ago. And then no sidewalks. We don't have $1 million, but they got part of this. Oh, I wanted to say the source of this money for these three projects, for the Greenway, this, and then the next piece, was we have in Pima County, we have a bond issue every, whenever the political environment is good. So we're looking for another, it's been delayed several years. We're hoping now for 2013. But so neighborhoods who have infrastructure disparities can apply for up to 500, and it's going up to 750 in the next round. And so they applied for these projects and got $500,000. So they were able to put all this all these improvements in for that fairly small sum. So this is, you know, not a huge thing. It's not ADA, but it's a lot better than what they had. And someday they'll have some shade trees here. And then the last thing was, this street was the only street in the neighborhood that didn't have speed bumps, those single-purpose tools that we use that don't do anything for people but just slow cars. And so if we were going to try to slow traffic down, we wanted to at the same time improve the pedestrian environment. And there's just no room here for pedestrians. There's all kinds of mailboxes and garbage cans get here, so folks have to walk in the street. So not a lot we can do with that. But the idea of these little chicanes, these little parklets outside of people's houses that they could maintain and take care of, and they're beautiful little additions. And again, this is the rendering, and this is how it ended up. And then last of all, this is over there across that channel is that greenway we just saw with the path. And then this is a drainage channel where the water just gushes out and dumps into that channel. And so it used to be people would use it, but there'd also be a lot of graffiti and trash in there. And the idea was to, here's the channel, was to make it a pedestrian walkway, and then you have to scoot over and continue up here to make it to the to Mansfield Park up here on the north. And so this was funded, and this is what it looks like. And one of the really innovative ideas the community had was to abate graffiti, was to use this living wall, which is a Ocotillo fence. And we'll see. We'll see if people spray paint the plants. And then this is what they're working on now, which is a tremendously innovative idea. Actually, the Parks and Rec contacted the neighborhood to see if they wanted to put a community garden in. Not just a community garden, but a permaculture garden. One of the neighbors is a permaculturist, and so kind of building on the assets that are in the community, they're now looking at implementing this in partnership with the park department. So that's the first I've heard in our community where a park is opening it up for opening it up for a garden. So limitations. We go through the neighborhood association, and that's not a homeowners association. That's just a designated neighborhood association. So the only people that are active in the neighborhood association are the only people we ever get in front of. And even though when we did these charrettes, we blanketed every door in the neighborhood to announce we were going to have a charrette, and we didn't use that word, by the way. Just, you know, 20 people showed up for our first meeting. So, you know, you get who shows up. So food is a really good thing to have, good food. and you tend to get repeat customers that way. I often worry that the improvements will facilitate gentrification and bring in students and start to, you know, it's fairly close to the university, and drive property values up, and I don't know. I think it's a conundrum. Cultural competence, you know, it's really important, the vocabulary that we use to, you know, the built environment and all the nomenclature. It's really challenging to communicate about these issues in layman's terms. And then how do we measure the impact on health? And I sure don't know. I think it's going to take a long time. But I know we can measure the impact on the built environment. And that's really quite significant. And in terms of the functioning of the neighborhood association, I know that they're more highly functioning than they were when we started. And already I see people out and about using the paths and the routes that have been improved, and so I think more people are getting out. And that's it.